Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Welcome everyone back to the Medical Advantage Podcast. Once again, I am your host, Rebecca Duke, and ecstatic to bring more fresh insights from our corner of the healthcare world. Today, I am delighted to welcome back a return guest, Monty Pate, our executive healthcare consultant, plus our Vice President of Practice Solutions, Angie Howard. In this new series all about private equity, we'll delve into the world of PE firms, exploring their varying levels of involvement in healthcare operations. While acquiring healthcare businesses can yield significant gains, it's crucial to acknowledge the potential risks involved. These risks arise not just from healthcare's inherent instability, but rather from its intricate nature, often concealing consequential factors within our blind spots. The mission of our collaboration with private equity is to meticulously piece together these elements, striving to create a comprehensive understanding that benefits all parties involved in an optimal way. And with that said, I am so excited to welcome back to the podcast, Monty and Angie. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, guys. Good to have you. So, Angie, if you would please get this conversation rolling, can you define what the scope is of this discussion? What is private equity in healthcare? Just a high-level overview, if you will.
Sure. The term private equity is very broad, but at a high level, private equity companies are investment partners that buy and manage companies before selling them. So typically, PE companies invest in a private company and sell it within 3 to 5 years. And distribute the proceeds among investors.
That's the stage for what we have to discuss today. So, Monty, how far into healthcare does private equity extend?
Well, in the physician medical group sector, deals such as mergers and acquisitions, which are backed by private equity, in 2014, that only accounted for 10%. Of the total deals. And this is coming from a report by a company called Healthcare Appraisers. However, by 2020, the number of deals backed by private equity had jumped significantly to 72%. So quite an increase there. It was also noted that the private equity capital that's available for investment is close to $2 trillion. Now, according to Forbes, in 2022, we saw a bit of a slowdown, meaning there was less merger and acquisition volume, but the deals themselves were actually larger. So it is still very prevalent in the healthcare space. It should be noted, before we begin the podcast here, really dive into it, that they're often federal and state-specific laws that regulate that relationship between private equity and medical groups. So for the purposes of this discussion, we're going to approach it from a very generic standpoint.
So what would you say is presently driving practices to merge and align with private equity firms?
Well, from a medical practice perspective, one of the big ones is economies of scale in terms of overhead, meaning less overhead per provider in daily operations. How much are you spending to support that provider? That's a very important metric. Another motivation is growth. Just like in any business, medical groups are looking to increase their market share. Angie, do you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, Monty, I would add capital access for service line or technology. I would also add that a larger provider network, it provides more negotiating power for managed care contracts. So in other words, negotiating better reimbursement for the providers, better purchasing prices for the providers in those groups.
Yeah, those are great points, Angie. I would also point out that often these groups are looking for reduced administrative burden, and they can find that through PE-backed physician practice management companies, which run the daily business operations. And finally, at the end of the day, profitability. They're looking for an opportunity to be a more profitable and sustainable business.
Thank you for that explanation, Angie and Monty. So with physician group transactions being a step in the process, can you expand on private equity's role in that, Monty?
Well, ultimately, they're looking to do several things. Improve operations, first and foremost. And that involves, of course, reducing waste, streamlining the processes within the medical group, but also positioning that medical group for growth. All of these things help increase the value of the physician group. And as Angie referenced, private equity is looking to take these groups back to the marketplace in 3 to 5 years and hopefully return profits to the investors.
Thank you for explaining how that all fits together, Monty. So, Angie, in your experience, whom are your consultants supporting in these transactions? Is it the private equity firm or the medical group?
Rebecca, that's a good question. So it's really both. A way to think about it is that specialized consulting is a tool used by private equity to help them meet their goals of a more optimized and valuable medical practice. However, the day-to-day working relationship between our consultants and our teams here at Medical Advantage is really between the medical group and us. So, you know, I think the goal of private equity is not to come in and really disrupt operations, but to enhance them. So oftentimes the medical group will approach us and hire us to help optimize their operations. And in turn, that will increase revenue and profit.
Thank you for that clarity, Angie. Can you expand upon the benefits of a private equity firm partnering with a specialized consulting firm, Angie?
Yeah, so the consulting team is typically made up of experts with experience in areas such as practice operations, revenue cycle, marketing, and health information technology, just to name a few. So this puts us in a unique position to assess the current state operations of a medical group, partner with the practice to improve business functions, utilizing current resources to the greatest extent possible. So in other words, what can be addressed without a major capital investment? We also provide technology solutions to maximize performance. And then lastly, we create a roadmap for a more valuable and more scalable future state.
All right, I see now how that all fits together for these objectives overall. So Monty, to uncover and address any factors that would negatively impact a venture, we begin with an assessment of the medical organization. Why is this so important and how do you begin?
Well, as far as the why, it's critical to know where you are starting from when you begin any project. In a healthcare setting, you need to ask, what's the gap between your current operations and the industry best practices or your desired future state? And this can help a medical group fully appreciate the value associated with the opportunity they have in front of them and can also help direct where they choose to focus energy and resources. As far as the how, this usually involves several parallel tracks when it comes to an assessment. And I'll start out with discovery sessions. And this very simply involves talking with the medical group's subject matter experts within the various business domains. And these discussions can be in person or virtual, but the goal is to determine the operational pain points and frustrations that they encounter on a routine basis. As advisors, our team has learned to listen intentionally and avoid the temptation to enter the engagement with cookie cutter assumptions about where the obstacle lie. We're always aware that each circumstance is unique. Next involves data gathering, and this involves taking a deep dive into the organization's performance metrics. These are key performance indicators from revenue cycle and operations that typically are benchmarked against the industry best practice. Angie, do you have some other thoughts on this?
Yeah, I would add the IT gap analysis. So this involves identifying how the EHR and practice management or billing systems are supporting the current functional business requirement. So this would include assessing workflows, security, data integrity, and data completeness. I would also add process mapping as a key assessment tool. This is an end-to-end visual representation of the work processes you are reviewing, which capture the impact of decision points, handoffs, approvals, manual processes, where and how technology is used, and if and then logic, et cetera.
All right. Thanks for that, Angie. I would, wrap this up here with a comment about a change management assessment. I think this is very necessary, and it addresses the question, how prepared is the organization to undertake a major transformational initiative if one is required? And this typically involves discussions with both the private equity and the medical group leadership to determine the decision-making structure and protocol within and between the two groups. Positive changes in operations can be seriously jeopardized if there's not clearly defined ownership for decision-making within the various business domains. People often agree that a change is a good idea, but they do not want to be the one accountable for giving the idea a green light. It's also important that you identify the stakeholders and influencers within the organization who must be engaged at the very beginning of the process. And the most obvious of these are the providers. What is the plan to bring them on board, meaning obtaining buy-in for a major transition?
Thank you, Monty and Angie. So I wanted to revisit something that was said earlier, the part about improving business functions, utilizing current resources to the greatest extent possible. Can you explain how that works, Angie?
Sure. Quite often, organizations attempt to compensate for bad processes. They do this by throwing additional staff at the problem. They identifying high staffing ratios compared to national benchmarks is often the first clue as to where these suboptimal workflows reside. These also may correlate with the identified pain points that were revealed during the discovery sessions. These scenarios of suboptimal processes can frequently be resolved utilizing available resources by the way of enhanced training. Because a particular technology is installed does not necessarily mean that its capabilities are being fully leveraged. Very frequently, we see organizations paying for functionalities that are not being taken advantage of within their billing or EHR systems. So this training gap can prove to be expensive to the organization in terms of productivity, of profitability. Resolving this can be a quick win for the organization. And Monty, do you have anything to add there?
Well, I would make a case for minimizing process variation. As medical groups grow through the acquisition of other practices, they're going to inherit the processes that are unique to each of those practices. And this can include things such as how they schedule or referral management or how staff are utilized or the revenue cycle itself. And it's a very common mantra throughout the industry for the acquiring organization to state to the practice they're bringing on board, we do not intend to change how you do business. You know, don't worry, we're not going to change anything. On the surface, this sounds harmless, However, when you replicate this practice over the course of numerous medical groups being onboarded as part of a larger system, process variation and daily operations soon runs rampant. And the impact on an organization often includes difficulty in influencing system-wide outcomes, decreased ability to effectively measure performance, and potential frustration for patients as they move between practices within the system. So when you're looking for quick wins, there's often areas where a variance in process can be minimized or eliminated. Next, I would mention creating visible and actionable key performance indicators. It's really imperative that leaders at all levels in the organization can see the performance of the domains they're accountable for, as well as those that are adjacent to their area of responsibility. Keep in mind, healthcare operations are an ecosystem and overlaps of impact are common. Ideally, the KPIs would be readily available in a dashboard setting. However, what's important is that you use whatever tools you have at the moment to ensure that the KPIs are disseminated to the KPI owners and team members. But one other word on KPIs, it's not enough just to see the metrics. The owners must be given the latitude to make decisions that drive KPI improvement. As they say, you cannot improve what you don't measure. Angie, any other thoughts on this?
I would just add that memorializing the best practice and standard operating procedures, often we refer to those as SOPs. But this is something that can be started in short order. It's critical that as you make changes in how you do business, that these are recorded in standard operating procedure documents. So you want to make these readily available for staff. There are plenty of formats available in the public domain. The key is that they are uniform in format, provide detailed guidance for specific business processes, and clearly identify the accountable parties. The value of these documents is that it gives you a reference point for training and onboarding new hires regarding performance expectations. And it also provides a document to evaluate and update as the business requirements change.
All right, very good. So this wraps up part one of our series. Thank you, Monty and Angie, for your time sharing all this wisdom surrounding private equity's relationship with healthcare and how having the right consultants on your side paves the path to success. Should you have any questions about how to make your practice more appealing to private equity or how to refine your acquisitions process as a PE firm, both before and after acquisition, we're happy to have that conversation with you anytime. You can reach us at info@medicaladvantage.com. This podcast is produced by Medical Advantage. Medical Advantage provides consulting designed to help practices improve care quality, reduce healthcare costs, and increase revenue. Our broad portfolio of services optimizes operations for medical practices, specialists, groups, and private equity. For more insights you won't hear anywhere else, please subscribe to our channel. See you back here for the next episode.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage Podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.